listen to the reading of his word. From the Old Testament, Jonah, beginning in the third chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Our gospel reading today is from Mark, in the first chapter, beginning in the 14th verse. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, now, last week, I find these things interesting. We see in the lessons from this week and last week, different call stories. Last week in Samuel, he was confused about who was actually calling him. And it took 3 times of him answering until Eli was used to intervene, and he gave him the instructions. We had Philip, who immediately responded with an enthusiastic yes to God. Not only yes, but then he goes over and gets Nathanael, and he says, "Come and see." I found it interesting, almost daring on Nathanael's part, that he actually questioned. Do you remember that? When he said, "What good could come from Nazareth?" And Jesus was standing right there. I thought that was pretty bold. And Jesus speaks to Nathanael, and he realizes Jesus knows him. And he's amazed. And so he says, in the middle of all of this confusion, he says yes to the invitation to be his disciple and follow him. Now, on the other hand, in today's gospel, Mark paints a very different picture of the calling of the disciples. Mark tells us that Jesus passes 2 sets of brothers by the seashore. And he instructs them. He just says, "Follow me." Both brothers drop what they are doing and get up and follow. In fact, the second set of brothers, wordlessly, not without a word, it says in the Bible, abandon their father to follow Jesus. No conversations, no collaboration, no discernment, no goodbyes. They just get up and follow Jesus. That's kind of the way you would expect for things to happen in Mark, because he's very short, he's very direct, he gets straight to the point. He said Jesus is inviting them, and they drop everything that they are doing to follow him. Now, I thought about this, and I thought, well, maybe I'm more like John's version of the call story. We have to kind of talk about it a little bit. I tend to talk about things that I'm trying to make a decision on, and I usually end up talking out loud. Sometimes I'll talk to someone about it, but I usually, in the car, are mulling over it out loud, or Walter Payton in Sweetness, who don't talk back, but they do listen well. You know, I think about these things. Sometimes I talk with other members in the church to make sure that my decisions or actions I'm going to take will be positive ones. Sometimes I just work through it myself, talk through it, but I always pray. I always pray about it, and then I try to act. Sometimes I'm a little more impulsive than other times, but I do try to take the time to pray about it, because that's what I should do. So the idea of Nathaniel sort of hemming and hawing about saying yes was a little relatable to me. The idea that he questioned Jesus stunned me a little bit, because I'm not sure I would be that bold if Jesus was standing next to me to say what good could come out of Nazareth. That stuck with me. I thought, wow, how bold of Nathaniel to do that. But he did say yes to God. He did say yes when Philip said, come and see. In other ways, I might be like our Old Testament character today. Y'all know the story of Jonah. If you take a closer look, it's all about Jonah's discipleship. We heard just a real small, short story, part of Jonah's story. But if you remember that story, Jonah is actually a very terrible follower of God. Y'all know how much, if you go back and read the story of Jonah, read before the chapter that we're in today, he just puts this off and procrastinates, argues with God, does a lot of things before he says yes to God. He's running in the opposite direction. So much so that he puts total strangers in danger on a boat that he's trying to go the opposite way of Nineveh. We know what happens. He gets swallowed by this really big fish before he's willing to say yes to what God has for him to do. My own call story was not an immediate yes, nor direct. Kind of a little bit like Nathaniel's, maybe a little bit like Jonah, maybe a little bit like Philip and the fisherman. I can see myself in all of them. You might be able to see yourself in them too. And there was a part of me, maybe a part of you, that reacted just like Samuel did. I don't know. But you can see yourself in many of these stories. They highlight your own call story, I would like to think. It may not be as dramatic as Jonah's, who delivered the shortest sermon in the history of sermons. One word, one sentence, I mean. He delivered one sentence and it changed people's lives. He said, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And how did the people, how the Ninevites react? They believed God. And they proclaimed a fast. And everyone, great, small, tall, age, it didn't matter, put on sackcloth. Would we be willing to do that? I don't think we would respond quite as readily as they did. But to understand the significance of their response, we need to remember that the citizens of Nineveh were not saints. It was a great kingdom of people who were in the habit and in the power of oppressing God's chosen. They were tyrants, they were power mongers, they were today what we would call bullies. No one scared them. You have to remember that when you're hearing this story. Yet, with Jonah's one sentence, that one sentence of judgment, they stopped immediately, began a fast, and they went and repented. No debates. There were no town hall meetings. No consultation with the king. If you go back and read about this in more in depth, the king even proclaimed that the livestock needed to put on cloth. So they put sackcloth on their livestock. We forget that part of that. I always think that's such a neat little part that they went that far. They were into their repentance immediately and totally. We find a parallel in Mark's gospel today. The two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, James and John. Immediately they responded. They were both in the fishing industry. They were both working on nets. And they responded immediately to Jesus' invitation to be his disciple. When he said, "Follow me," they just stopped. But there were subtle differences in their stories. Peter and Andrew were actually casting their net from the bank. We've all cast net, most of us had, for shrimp. You just throw it out there and it drops. And it was really an indication that they were a little bit on the slighter side of wealth. That's the way I guess I'll put it. They were not wealthy fishermen. They were just very average fishermen. And on the other hand, you have James and John, who by their story, it tells us that they were of another socioeconomic class. Their father was a fisherman, so therefore this was probably a generational way of making an income for this family. They dropped everything. They didn't go home and tell their families they were leaving. I've always wondered about that. Did they have families? It doesn't tell us. But we know that at least James and John had a father. They didn't even say goodbye. Have any of you ever worked for your father? I have. I think he tried to fire me once, but that's okay. I can't imagine me if I had been working for him. My child worked for me at one point. I can't imagine they would just quit and then not even tell me they were leaving. Think of the magnitude of that. They just left everything. I wonder, would we act similarly, with immediacy? Would we act with that immediacy to God's call? Have you? Now, the moments don't have to be quite that dramatic. As you just walk out of a classroom while you're teaching, or just leave your family and go away. It doesn't have to be that dramatic. Maybe you're just sitting in the pew and you realize you have something really to give to the church or to a certain cause. Maybe there are moments when you offer real kindness to help a stranger, knowing that if you stop to help that person on the side of the road, or you stop to help that stranger, you're going to be late to the engagement that you're trying to get to. but you do it anyway. Maybe your immediacy was simply getting out of bed one day and finally stepping in the doors of a church. Maybe that was your simple call story. You did it because you needed the community that a church offers you. At some point in our lives, we hear Jesus saying to us, follow me. Some will say, no, I never heard that. They're being a little prideful, I think, if they say that. I have never heard the voice say to me, come, follow me. Or I didn't think Jesus was actually speaking to me. Because some fail to answer the call to Jesus. But the good news is, you are not alone. You don't have to fail. Despite the fact that Simon, Peter, Andrew, John, and James all were very exemplary in how they responded, we still have a chance to say yes. If we haven't already, we still have a chance, because even they did that immediately. We know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey would tell us. We already know from reading and studying God's Word that they will soon stumble and fail. But they keep stumbling, they keep failing, but they keep getting back up to answer the call from Jesus. Now, I probably bet the last thing you wanted to hear about this morning was someone's call narrative. Not again. I didn't necessarily want to write about it again. But that's where I was led. But I'm so glad that the Nephites are in our call story, in the narrative today, because they teach us so much. They were not good people. But they heard the judgment. They heard the half-hearted, and trust me, I think it was delivered half-heartedly, that one sentence sermon from Jonah. And they responded completely. They acted. They took action. That's what all of our characters in the narratives of their calls do. They act. Samuel acted without fully understanding. And we heard those beautiful words last week. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Acting is what Jonah did. Even begrudgingly, he does what God asks of him. Action is what the brothers did against all the logic of leaving home, following a man they barely know. Our invitation this week is to do the same, to find ways to act. For us, it means meeting that challenge. We are simply being invited to be brave enough to be the light. If you haven't ever said yes to Jesus, today's a great day to do that. You're in a community that loves you. Becoming a faithful Christian disciple takes both a moment and your entire lifetime. Every day is a moment to say yes. You hear it when we pray. I say it every time. Let us be brave enough to be the hands and feet of Jesus our Lord and Savior, your Son. Every day is the opportunity to say, yes, I will follow you, because you're not alone on that great adventure. And it is a great adventure of following Jesus. Look around you. We are all on this journey together, on the great adventure of being Jesus' disciples. And that is our good news. Amen and amen.